This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number four already. Holy cow. G-Bag Nation, time flies. Having fun here today. Whataburger in Grand Prairie, 2630. Highway 161. If you're looking for a little fellowship, come by, get something to eat and drink. You will not be able to get a G-Bag Nation flag anymore because they're all gone. Blew them out like the first hour and 5 minutes, over 100 out the door. And thanks to Whataburger so much for sponsoring this year's Flagtober, along with Southern Leisure, Spas, and Patio. Okay, Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons audio coming up at 520. And our thoughts on that, our question for you, is the local media gotten too tough on these Cowboys? Do they got a point? And we want to hear from you on the Franklin injury attorney text line. Best thoughts on that coming up at about 20. Here's the Chief with an addition to the finest.
Yes, sir. I love kicking off the 5 o'clock football hour presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-Dubs is football here in the finest. 877-881-1053. What's your personal go-to Whataburger order? The menu is so vast that oftentimes you'll throw some change-ups, but we all have that go-to.
Cinnamon roll and a Diet Coke for me, Chief.
Boom.
The honey butter chicken biscuits, if I can get them.
The honey butter chicken biscuits. I mean, that was really the start of my Whataburger run. Just involved basically two of those at a time. Just boom, 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 boom.
So good.
So fantastic. Got nothing but love for honey butter just in general. I mean, that stuff, you can't – I want like a fountain of that somewhere within striking distance, really at all times. If you give me a genie right now, that's probably my one wish.
You could add it to toast. You could add it to some baby back ribs. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so versatile.
Walchuk puts it in his hair from time to time.
Every once in a while. What do you think keeps it up? There we go. All right. Honey butter's delicious.
Now, we did get a pro tip from Ruben earlier that we'll get to, Whataburger style. I was not familiar with his game, but my dude is totally in his bag. We'll hear from Nick Sirianni.
He looks embarrassed. Why are you embarrassed?
Bag man. We'll also hear from Chris Sims on Dak. But I first want to pay some respects to perhaps the best compliment of the football week. Does it get any better if you're Ladd McConkey, rookie wide receiver, Georgia to the Chargers? Quote from Jim Harbaugh, I watched the film of Ladd. He reminds me of Steve Smith. We all know that Steve Smith from the Panthers, Ravens, toughness,
one of the greatest.
Undersized.
Utah.
That's exactly, I mean, Ladd McConkey right there. Hey, dude. That's who Jim Harbaugh is calling you. You're in a good spot, and apparently he's one of the best as it pertains to man coverage. He's the third most efficient receiver right now as it pertains to
sense based on his route running.
Yeah, the quickness, right? Yeah. All that kind of stuff. You saw this coming. I know Wolchuk was all about it in fantasy. You probably got him in at least one of your leagues. I know I did in a dynasty league.
I got him in a couple of leagues, but we don't need to talk fantasy. I think I'm going to quit after this year.
Yeah.
It's been that bad.
Heard that before.
It's been terrible.
But, yeah, just really awesome for Ladd McConkey, and what a compliment there.
Separates well.
Yeah, that's badass, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, your coach tells you that. Are you kidding me? All right, can anybody beat the order of Gavin Dawson, who's going with a cinnamon roll and a Diet Coke, Whataburger style? 817, breakfast, taquito, loaded, potato, bacon, and sausage. He goes with the triple threat taquito, which is a really brilliant play. I'll go with the double sausage a lot of times, or sausage and bacon.
So you order them all a la carte and then put them together?
Or no. You just, Whataburger will just throw it all.
They'll throw it together.
They'll do it for you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they'll do it for you. That's what Whataburger does.
That's the type of respect they have for you.
Supplying greatness. Breakfast, it's usually the honey butter chicken biscuit and then a bacon and sausage taquito. Now, I will say the breakfast burger, pretty damn good, and the Bob, breakfast on a bun, it is slept on. Otherwise, it's always the sweet and spicy bacon burger, which Ruben might have had. Was this your first time having it?
No.
Thank God it wasn't, but it's a go-to. I can't get anything else.
Yeah, so
those taquitos they've saved my life.
And they're big.
I think I put them in my will.
Yeah,
because they've saved my life on the way home. Yes,
I like that move.
Yeah.
Ruben was sharing the idea that he goes with, because sometimes you want a little bit of both, right? But you're like, gosh, am I going to get a honey butter chicken, or am I going to get the barbecue chicken strip sandwich and the double cheeseburger, whatever that I want, the sweet and spicy? And so, yes. and I was like, yes, honestly, I would, and I have, and I will.
Why not?
Continue. But in the sense not that you, maybe you don't want to go crazy with the amount that you can eat, you get, say, the chicken strip sandwich, and then you can order the sweet and spicy as a junior size.
What?
So you can junior size any of the all-time favorites. So you just have like a little side. Like, I still want a taste of that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get the full deal because I'm not going to be able to eat it / pay for it. So let me scale it back a little bit. And now it's a double win. I mean, I didn't know you could junior.
I didn't know that either.
You could junior it down a little bit.
We
so,
can junior the all-time faves?
Pretty incredible.
Hell yeah.
Love me some Whataburger. Okay, here is Nick Sirianni. I've never heard.
Speaking of not love somebody.
I've never heard this this sort of analogy, if you will, as it pertains
Wait a minute. What about our guy at the Celtics? He comes up
Mazzulla.
With Mazzulla comes up with some crazy thing. You've kind of he's the all-time come up with crazy stuff guy, right?
I mean, he's certainly the leader in the clubhouse right now. You know, prisoner of the moment. I don't want to be knee-jerk. Give him number one forever, but
Sirianni
he's there
said
right now.
Weird stuff though, like the whole you grow like the plants.
Oh
like
yeah, the plants
gonna,
and the
we're gonna just water it.
The flowers. Watch,
yeah, the weird analogies.
Well, here's his praise and perfume analogy.
What was the line, Tyler? Treat praise like perfume. Smell it, sniff it, whatever you got to do with it. Don't drink it.
Okay, that's Monday.
All right, so that's the praise and perfume. I haven't heard that one before. I didn't know if that was a footballism that I had a blind spot, you know, like about Mark Mangino and his towel.
Yeah.
But Broadus, it doesn't seem to be something you've heard
either. No, I haven't heard that one.
About praise?
No.
Praise like perfume, smell it, sniff it, whatever the bleep you got to do with it. That's where he kind of loses me for a second. Like,
smell
it, sniff it, whatever the bleep
I've been around Hall of Fame coaches, too. You know, never
right.
heard that one. No.
But definitely don't drink it. I mean, he ends it with an obvious, you know, you can't really argue with that last part. Don't drink it. Yeah. It's the whatever the bleep you got to do with it, where it like leaves this open for interpretation, wondering what does Nick Sirianni want to do with perfume from time to time, other than, I guess, just smell it.
I don't know. You know, the guy's random. He's unpredictable, non sequiturs. I imagine, you know, just sample the perfume a
God
little
knows
bit.
What he's doing with
you
that
know?
Perfume behind closed doors.
Yeah. Well, 817, by the way, has a good point. That's a very popular move here with Whataburger Insiders, and that's subbing Texas toast for your sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, yes. No, that's
he likes the buffalo chicken strip sandwich, but you sub the Texas toast and you add pickles.
That's a good move.
Hold
there.
The pickles probably for me, but this Texas toast thing I think is the thing to explore next.
Yeah, breakfast on a bun's getting a lot of love here as well from a breakfast standpoint, and that is so good. And it does get slept on from time to time. Here is some sound of Chris Sims talking about our very own Dak Prescott.
Made up. I know Dak Prescott's going to play hard. I never question that about him. I mean, he's a true professional. That's why I stick up for him. He never makes excuses. He's tough as hell. He makes a lot of big plays and big throws. He did not play his best last night. I understand that, you know, and he's had a hard time against San Francisco. But I'll say what I've said to about a lot of quarterbacks, and like I said already, quarterbacks in this situation where there's just nothing there, this is too much to expect him to carry the football team. And at the end of the day, as awesome as Dak Prescott is, yeah, he's not Mahomes or Lamar or Josh Allen who's going to be able to extend plays and just carry an offense on his back without very little help in certain situations. That's not what he is. He needs a little help, a little bit of a system to, you know, help him out that way, a little bit of a running game, and Dallas has got nothing going right now that makes you feel encouraged on the offensive side.
I love the way that Chris said that, and, you know, it totally resonates with me. I had a number of folks, you know, come up to me in the last couple of months and be like, man, I like you even though you're a Dak hater. And I'm like, man, I'm definitely not a Dak hater. I'm one of his biggest fans. You know, the professionalism that he goes about everything that he does, the leadership, the toughness, the never quit attitude. You know, I think Chris makes a good point about his limitations. You know, we saw Eli Manning like in the last 5 or 6 years of his career in a similar situation. And what he would do, he'd take that drop and look around, and if nothing was there, it was zing, out of bounds. Dak's in there battling you know, trying to put together scoring drives. And he did it twice, you know, with all tight window throws.
Yeah.
And then, you know, ultimately, if you're playing that style, the third drive doesn't work. Or a few drives before that, it's interceptions. But I don't think there's ever been a Cowboy that you could more easily root for than Dak Prescott. There might be people tied with him. But as far as what you look for in the characteristics of a guy that you are proud to have on your team, he knocks it out of the freaking park, man. And I, you know, if you see me as a Dak hater, that's fine. Just, I think I'm looking at it objectively, just like Chris Sims did. You know, he's not an absolute elite guy, and I just want the Cowboys to recognize that so they can build a team around him that, you know, he could take all the way easily. Dak Prescott could win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that's extremely well said by you.
Give
and
me
I
a
think
primary
it's very
play
rational
call while you're at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, new coach, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I mean, both can be true, right? Dak is being put in a situation to fail right now,
not succeed,
but he also has been playing well.
I've seen people hate that.
Both are fair.
That golf guy, when he was at the Rams and the Lions, yeah. Everybody's laughing about that trade.
They wrote his eulogy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They threw a bunch of dirt on that guy, you know, and now he doesn't miss a pass, you know. But what has he got?
Protection.
He's got a running game. He's got protection. He's got, you know, and he's got a coach.
Three weapons in the passing
absolutely.
Game.
Makes
just
difference.
Give the guy a chance. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you see the rankings for the offensive linemen, like Pro Football Focus, and it's just pretty bad across the board. Yeah. Where you got, I mean, Tyler Guyton, 53rd best pass protecting tackle, Terrence Steele, 58.
I think he's up from 60 something the other day.
Well, that's good. Step in the right direction. I mean, Tyler Smith, 19th in pass protection. At the guard spot, you know, not bad, but you were hoping that would be more like
seven,
top five
10
for sure, if not top five. Yes, Walt Joe.
He was a second team All Pro last year. You were thinking you were going to get an All Pro type of guard. There.
Zach Martin, 35th ranked guard in pass protection.
That's pretty true.
Cooper Beebe, 15th in pass pro out of the centers, and 20th overall for the centers. Yeah, he's definitely the one where you're like, okay, you know, you can pretty much appreciate and accept that as a unit, 28th. Of 32 when it comes to the pass protection, so things are not helping Dak that way. But also when Joe Flacco, Bryce Young, and Tua all have more rushing yards than you this season, talking about Dak, those guys have all missed time, and none of those guys are synonymous with really being overly athletic dudes that like to run the ball. But again, Flacco, Bryce Young, and Tua all have more rushing yards than your quarterback, and that's a tough thing to. You got to have perfection around you, Jared Goff style, if you're going to be that much of a statue like he is.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily about all the yards. It's the threat. And if they know you're point-blank not going to run, it's unbelievable, you know, how much they're able to take advantage of that. And I think that's a huge reason of why the clog and cover has been even more effective against Dak than a lot of the league.
A guy who can run is Josh Allen. Did you see what Brady's getting kind of in trouble for?
No.
Tom? You guys didn't see this?
No. What
Tom is he critical,
do?
Josh? Tell me if anything stands out to you. The quote about him during the game on Sunday was, sometimes he played like a spaz, like a grade schooler on a sugar high, but now he's controlled the chaos. He's like a storm coming into town, and you don't want that storm coming into this town.
Mm. Is that special education shaming?
Apparently spaz. Yeah, that's a word you don't. I mean, I didn't know that either.
I think a lot of people didn't. Apparently, in the UK, it's become like an extremely offensive word.
Okay.
It's an ableist slur, is what they have it as. People with disabilities, in particular cerebral palsy. So I think that's kind of an American blind spot.
Yeah.
But now he's sort of going viral for a tough week. Tough week for Tom.
Yes.
With the Giselle news, this S word stuff. I'm sure he's going to bounce back. You know, I'm sure this is only going to add a bigger chip to his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But my guy was emotional on the Instagram story yesterday.
Really?
He was. Three heart emojis. He's playing the landslide song.
You know, bad guys.
He's asking, like, will the child in me ever, you know, bounce back from something like this when he got the news?
It is. He should have gone Parcells and started that with no disrespect, and then he'd have been good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good call.
Did he use the black screen with the white writing? In the stories.
No, he had
when
the
you
sunset
use the
background.
Black screen and the white writing in the stories, that's when you're crashing out, buddy. That's when you're feeling it. You got something to say. Yeah.
that's when it's time to put the phone down.
Yep. Big, bold, white letters on the black background.
People are talking about, like, man, that poor kid now is going to be like, his half brother and sisters, their dad's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
His dad is just a random jujitsu guy.
You know, that's, karate that's, man.
That is tough, dude. Wait, your dad's Tom Brady, bro? Wow. Oh, and no. Bill Belichick, by the way, his ex, I guess, was it his wife? I guess it was just his girlfriend or whatever, but the lady that he had been dating for a long time before now the younger girl, she apparently was Uma Thurman's character in Kill Bill. That was her Halloween costume from over the weekend, sending very strong messages. Mm. Violent.
Sounds intimidating. Yeah. I feel threatened.
He needs to be careful is what I'm saying. Watch out, Bill.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
We're live Whataburger in Grand Prairie, 2630 Highway 161. We're coming back with the Expressway. We have audio, Micah and Trayvon talking about the local media. Are we too tough on these guys? We want to hear from you. The Franklin Injury Attorney text line is open. We'll come back with your best text reactions and everything that's been breaking here in the world of sports next in the nation. Shoot, yeah, welcome back, G-Back Nation. We are live at Whataburger in Grand Prairie, 2630 South 161 here. And we're out of G-Back Nation flags. So we want to thank every Tolo out there who made it a point to find us out here on this Flagtober 2024. And congratulations for securing the historic and iconic Whataburger G-Back Nation flag. Stay tuned for next year's design. And your next opportunity to get a flag will be late September next year. So looking forward to that. Hopefully the Cowboys will be like 3-0, 4-0, something like that. It's time to hit the Expressway, though. Talk about these Cowboys. The Franklin Injury Attorney text line is open for you. We need your help. You know, what do you think about the level of negativity in our coverage of this football team? It has, been a topic. Mike McCarthy was sensitive, calling out Nick Harris. Well, that was awful dramatic, Nick, you know, with really a nothing burger question. You had Jerry going after a different reporter.
Pretty
and
dramatic,
then Sunday night. Yeah, and then obviously the Tuesday with Sean and RJ, Trayvon Diggs, so on and so forth. And then we have the audio of Micah and Trayvon on the Edge podcast we're going to get to here in just a second. But get your thoughts in here. Leave your name and city you're texting from. Do you think our coverage is too negative or not negative enough, maybe? LA Live's coming up here in about 14 minutes. Segments brought to you by Soda at State of the Arts, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the on-time experts as well. Okay, Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons there on the Edge podcast. Here we go.
Do you think there needs to be, because I've been seeing it, man, kind of like media players taking words and kind of spicing them up a little bit. Always, it just seems like it's more almost negativity, and I'm not talking just this particular situation. I'm talking from other media LSU organization. It almost seems like your media is painting a worse picture than anybody else out there. You know what I'm saying? Because they basically got the up-close look, and they kind of, you know, I kind of seen last night that, you know, some of our media staff was saying this is the worst team chemistry and team morale that they seen since Colt. But how would they know that if they only in a locker room for, you know, an hour throughout the week? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just weird to me that your team's media is like trying to portray an image about you or trying to like throw dirt on your name or throw dirt on your team's name. Like, we supposed to be one. We supposed to be together. I know that's journalism and, you know, they got to report what they report, but at the end of the day, you should be trying to protect us, if anything, you know, not trying to be buddy-buddy with you, smile in your face, trying to talk to you, then talking about you online. Like, just don't talk to me. Like, we don't got to talk at all. Like, I don't need to do interviews with you. You want to ask me something, we can talk on the podcast, and we could figure it out on our own. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just weird to me.
It's got to be tough, and it's almost got to be surreal because nobody likes people talking negatively about you, you know. Mm-hmm. And as a rite of passage as an adult, at some point you just get over that, right? And you're like, okay, that's going to happen. I can't spend too much time thinking about it, but still, it sucks, right? And then you're losing, and everybody's pointing it out and windmill dunking on you on social, but. You know, I fundamentally disagree. You know, we're supposed to be together. That's the way that the media was now decades ago, where the players and the media actually had a friendship and they would go out drinking afterwards and they were carrying on and, you know, complimenting each other. You know, that changed in a big way when the private travel came in with sports teams, and now the reporters are just catching up with you for a little bit of time. And that relationship was fundamentally changed in a massive way at that point, because you weren't spending hours. You're just getting maybe an hour a week or something like that in there. You know, and I think what the consumers of the media want are insightful thoughts, you know, passionate opinions. And that doesn't always jive with supporting. You can't support in the middle of being terrible. I mean, there are media members that attempt to always be supportive. And in the rankings of, like, who's getting the most attention, right, or who's the most popular media member, who do the fans resonate with the most, they're way at the bottom. You know, they're the guys that just only give the positive spin on the story. That's not relevant. That's not good for business.
Right.
You know, now you could go back into the 80s when rules governing news outlets were fundamentally changed, and you no longer had an obligation to be fair. You know, you were freed up to just say whatever you thought your customers would want. Right. And that happened in the regular news media. A decade or so later, it started to affect, like, cable news, and the sports radio genre was launched, and then sports cable TV was launched. And ever since then, opinions have become a bigger and bigger factor. So, you know, it is a little bit frustrating, I think, for players. But ultimately, the market says what the fans want is honest and insightful analysis of what is going right or wrong with the team. And, yeah, you know, I think there are definitely clout chasers in the media that, you know, have an even less respect for personal lines. But I don't think Mike Leslie crossed that line. What do you guys think at 877-881-1053? 512 says the media has not been tough enough on the Cowboys. If the Cowboys are getting offended by what is written and said about them, then that shows exactly how wrong they are. And then 469, can't say the media is too tough when the team is softer than a flea's backside. I'll just put it right there. What do you guys think about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with most of what you're saying there. When Trayvon or when Mike is talking about you can't make assumptions about the chemistry on the team or whatever because you're only in here for a certain amount of time, but he doesn't also understand that all the people that are in there, they also have sources, so they're like that you can get information from people that are there all the time. Right. You know, it's not just necessarily their firsthand.
Right.
So that would just be one pushback thing. It's not like you go in the locker room for 5 minutes and you see a broken chemistry deal necessarily in your face. But the people that are in the organization, whatever, there's sources all over the place. So you can get it from anywhere.
People that have been around for 20, 30, 40 years and do have a reference point.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then, you know, the media – you don't even realize how much the players are being protected on things, because how many things never see the light of day?
Yeah.
Maybe they're not.
Especially for those two. There's a lot that could be said that isn't said. Yeah. Maybe it's been hinted at times. But those two specifically have been protected quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of that stuff is you know, off the field. Maybe it's not football related and it's more personal or whatever, but they catch wind of it. There's plenty of examples of that. I mean, even just something simple like last year, Dak is going to have a baby. You don't think the media knew about that plenty before they announced it themselves? One of the media members could have just said, oh, watch this. I'm just going to go put this out. I'm going to break news.
Yeah.
When how disrespectful would that be for, why don't you let Dak announce that?
Yeah.
But that's one small example. How many other things are much more big that never see the light of day because they get protected? So I think that's a part of it as well. And then the narrative creation, like Diggs wants this Mike Leslie thing to just be like a created narrative. It's like, no, you, unfortunately, your tenure, you have been the reason why we know that you have a tendency to not want to give your all defensively and make physical plays or whatever. That you've done that. We're not creating that narrative. We're not making stuff up. You have done that. That's just reporting the facts.
One of the least physical corners in the NFL, you know?
You're synonymous with it.
Yeah. Okay, so 469, I definitely feel even though they deserve some criticism, multiple shows on this station go beyond reporting. It seems a bit personal and over the top most of the time. Borderline bullying. That's from Kenneth in Dallas. Thank you for the text there. I think you know, a lot of frustration comes in sports, and when your team loses, and, you know, especially covering this team, when you think there's significant, like, team-building flaws or coaching flaws or whatever, and to see it happen again and again and again, it raises the emotional temperature, I think, for people that are passionate about sports, and you definitely hear some of that passion. And, you know, I can't say that my record is perfect with not making things personal, but I think, you know, in this job, you're constantly sending things through that filter. You know, you don't want to be bullying. You want to keep it to, you know, how good they are at their jobs. And, like, reacting to that is the sports culture of being a fan, of being a media member. It's watching TV and yelling at it for guys not doing well enough. And, you know, it stinks. But, you know, as a coach of youth sports, I confront this all the time. Whenever you're watching a sport where you're invested in it, if things aren't going well, everybody gets mad, you know. Parents are yelling at other kids' players. You know, they're 13, 14 years old. They're yelling at the coach from across the sideline, right, from some decision that I made that may or may not have impacted winning one way or another. But they're losing their damn mind. They're yelling at the referees, getting kicked out and sent to the cars. You know, people lose their damn mind about sports that they're invested in. And that would be my final point to Trayvon. Where do you think all the money comes from? It's from caring so much that I'm spending hundreds, you know, if you have tickets, tens and tens of thousands of dollars to go to these games. It's, how are you making $20 million a year to not tackle just because you can pick the ball off?
Mm-hmm.
You're not a good wide enough wide receiver to play wide receiver, but you're good enough at catching the ball that you can go play defense and not tackle and still make $20 million bucks because of all of the fan interest and the fan passion. That's the same passion. And you can't accept all the benefits of it without, you know, also being okay with it. And to that point, I do believe Trayvon Diggs acknowledged that internally at some point in the last 48 hours and showed up with a gift today from Mike Leslie.
He did. I mean, they went ahead and patched things up, and he brought, you know, some D's nuts and gave them to Mike Leslie, and they both apologized.
Is that hilarious?
Awesome.
Like,
yeah. Amazing. It was amazing. And I think Trayvon's a good dude. Like, we've gotten to see him and talk to him out in Oxnard. Good guy. Micah, when we've interviewed him, it's been pleasant. Dak, one of the best individuals you'll ever meet. It's never personal. It's always just being critical of the team. Like, the 214 texted in, guys, I listen every day from KMC to After Dark. I told y'all they were getting frustrated when it started with Jerry. It's like you guys are organizing a pep rally against the team to share y'all's opinion. From the outside looking in, it looks like all the media horns are showing. It's obviously optics that there's an attack now, basically, on the organization. Like, what is being attacked here? Are we all just coming together and saying the Cowboys' defense isn't good? Is it? They can't stop the run, can they? Trayvon Diggs has shown an unwillingness to want to tackle. Is that inaccurate? Dak's not playing well. Is that true? The coach, it doesn't seem like he's got these guys ready to play. Mm-hmm. The offensive line's not blocking well. You've got the worst running room in the league. Like, are any of these things lies? Is it okay that you haven't been in an NFC Championship game in almost 30 years? Is the team-building philosophy flawed? Is it the same person who's been your GM that entire time? All of that is true, and all of that is fair. It's not a planned attack here by all of media DFW. It's just being factual. And if you're okay with maybe you win 12 games in the regular season and then you're one and done in the playoffs, and that's okay. You do you. But I want to hold the Cowboys to a higher standard, and I'm going to call them out. And if you don't like it, then I'm sorry about that. But it's nothing personal ever to anybody over there or the players. And this is just unrealistic in a weird reality that they're living in. Go play for the Giants, the Jets, the Patriots, the Eagles. There are so many worse markets to be in. Overall, we're pretty pleasant, I think, in Dallas. But what we've seen this year and what we've been seeing over the course of damn near three decades is unacceptable. So it's not, oh, we're banding together to go and attack the Dallas Cowboys. No, we want this team to win a championship. And maybe our voices, we're lucky and fortunate to have a platform to maybe voice some change. The fans, maybe they don't. And we're trying to be a voice through that. To maybe something will end up changing and we can do something positive with that. At least that's what I'm trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I think it's telling when a legend and the number one Cowboys fan maybe of all time, Michael Irvin, is being as vocal and as passionate as he is. And, you know, I would just, you know, want to say that I do appreciate all the different kinds of fans, you know, and some fans want to never be negative, and I think all fan bases need those folks. You know, they are never going to turn their back on the football team. They are the most loyal. They're sitting there at all the pep rallies. And, you know, I also think there are some real hardcore fans that insist on being better. And it's those kind of fans that walk away and don't tune in. And ultimately, that sends a much-needed message to the fans that, like, the Chicago Cubs got, you know? They were taking advantage of their fan base and using them as an ATM card for decades. And finally, the Cubs fans were like, you know what? This isn't good enough. And they were like, okay, we'll go get a real GM and spend a bunch of money. And, hey, here's your World Series championship.
Commanders. Look at the Commanders right now.
The Commanders are in the midst of that transition.
The Commanders, their organization was so poorly run that, you know, the league had to step in. A lot of that was, you know, because of things going on. But you look at those Commander fans, they went from being a fan base that season ticket list to not showing up at the games. You know? I mean, they just, and it just kept spiraling. I'll say this about myself personally. I made it personal one time. And it affected me in a way that it was with Jason Garrett. You know, firing him.
Yeah.
And what happens to you is when you make it personal, you affect other lives. And I say this in a way of when you fire a head coach, there's people underneath the head coach that get fired too. When an organization switches head coach, you know, all those assistants might go.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're talking about football operations people, and you're talking about
You're talking about livelihoods.
Now you're talking about livelihoods. And I was on the station a bunch trying to fire Jason Garrett, you know? And I just remember walking through the hallways there at the Star and people looking at me in a way like, you son of a, you know what? And I just kind of realized that it wasn't about Jason Garrett. It was about Brian Wansley. And it was about other guys in football operations that they might lose their job too because a guy with a platform was going after their boss. You know, that's when...
Now you have a whole committee of people.
Now all of a sudden you feel that wrath of, hey, listen here, man. We're just over here doing our job. But you're trying to fire our boss, which ultimately might get us all fired too.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I learned about, you know, going after people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That you have to have, you have to be mindful of that.
And we have to get to LA Live. You know, and I would just say, you know, to that point, then if you want that protection, right, then you have to give the relationship and the information. Like, the players and the teams want to play defense with all their info. We're not giving you anything. You guys are outsiders. We don't trust you.
Right.
And we want your protection. You can't have it both ways. Yep. You know, if you want the protection, you got to give the information and the relationship.
This all switched when Jerry went after Sean and RJ, in my opinion.
Yes, sir.
Because Jerry, nobody understood the media and how it works better than Jerry Jones.
Well said. It's time now to go back into that pimp cup, and Lucius Alexander has LA Live.
Yeah, I understand Diggs and Mike Leslie pieced it up and all that. That's great. But a bag of nuts as a peace offering after I told you these nuts is wild to me.
It is funny. I guess along with the apology. You know, if he had just given the bag of nuts and walked away.
Well, I hope Leslie apologized too.
Maybe a raising. Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah,
it's crazy that a bag of nuts is like a peace offering. But if it would have been a bag of D's, it would have been like the most disrespectful.
I think it was D's nuts. I think he got him with some
D's nuts. That's what I'm saying. He got him D's nuts, bro.
He got him D's nuts.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I need like a steakhouse gift certificate or something like that. Don't tell me D's nuts. The whole world laughs at me because you say D's nuts. And then when I see you later, you're like, my bad. Here goes a bag of nuts, though.
Yeah, you're right.
He might have picked the flavor, right? It was ranch or banana pudding.
That might be some of that slick stuff, Lucius.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have took it that way. Be like, now, who's he playing with? He playing my face. And by the way, man, they are killing you, Kenneth, on this fan text, brother. I'm sending you some energy. They are killing you, sir. But, hey, I'm with you, dog.
Thanks for toloing.
Yeah, thanks for toloing. All right, let's get into a hump day bucket, butt naked Wednesday bucket naked.
What?
Bucket naked? Butt naked Wednesday right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares. Time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Funny growing up with a parent that played a pause game. I remember one day I was trying to have a moment with my dad, you know what I'm saying? Like, love you, dad. He like, hey, yo. You love men, bro? Pause.
It's Butt Naked Wednesday.
Yeah. Shout out to the Pause Game. Started by the Constipated Monkeys, an underground radio show called the Constipated Monkeys. Started that show. It was just a radio game. It was not supposed to turn into what it turned into with that little thing that came in the late 90s at No Homo. Oh, that's nasty. Don't do that. That's nasty. That's not the Pause Game. That's hating. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you. Oh, and it came out of Harlem, too, by the way. It's a Butt Naked Wednesday here in L.A. Live. Word to Miss Badu. I, too, was born underwater with $3 and 6 dimes. Yeah, you might be lost, and you might be laughing. That's because you did not do your math. Peace to the gods and earths, Ashe, Sapase, and howdy, folks. How about that? All of that. And according to the truckwreck.com fan text I'm looking at, I've been watching all day, especially when you guys talked about the Yankee fan earlier.
Ooh,
when
man.
We first started, first of all, I think that's amazing.
Thank you.
Oh, I think is it amazing. I'm with you there, Eric. The Tolos feel the Yankee fan that snatched the ball out is a bum, though. They think he's an idiot bum.
You got to go to the game and be civilized, you know? Tuck your shirt in. Don't stand up too much. That might be rude. That's a Texas sports fan for you right there.
Yeah, I got
to. What are you doing? That was so sportsmanlike is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, I got told to sit down at an SMU game one time. And I'm talking about it was like 4 seconds left in the game. SMU on the 10-yard line driving, and I got to sit down, bro. That's before they got this new vibe to them. So yeah. I ain't like that no more. Now, talking about the fan text. Now, I'm aware that the fan text is not the total listening audience, so I do not get gassed by what's being said to me on this fan text. That's just a certain sector of the audience, which I do still appreciate you. But I love what that fan did. I love it. It is so New York. It is Annie up. Take chains off. Even like the man, oh my God, I love him, man. It, like, he should be able to go anywhere he wants to New York and get any type of pizza anywhere. Yeah. And pizza and a beer.
Yes. Yes.
Slice and a beer. Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
slice and a beer, dude.
Get this guy on a float if they win this this championship.
Yeah.
Man from MLB Stadium's legend. I'd have him in a full uniform in the dugout with me in LA tonight.
Yeah, this is our 27th man.
Yeah, I like how he was walking out of the stadium. People were patting him on the back like he just won a championship himself.
Yeah, he's a hero, dude.
Yeah, he's a hero, bro.
He's claiming it, man. He's getting his fame on. I think Barstool's already had him on. He's starting to make the podcast.
He deserves it, man.
Yeah, I like that, dude. That fool opened up Mookie's glove.
Yeah.
Reach down. Reach down in the mix and grab that ball. Let's get out of here, bro.
I think it's the one who grabbed his hand, like other hand. That's
teamwork.
That's the issue. You know, you don't want to hurt the player.
Yeah, you don't want to hurt anybody.
So the players are upset.
And that's why they didn't hurt him. Mookie Betts is fine.
Fortunately, he didn't get hurt. But you never know. Like, that, the players are worried you encourage this behavior. Next time, it's not. No, Mookie Betts might not be unhurt. He might be. You never know. You start twisting somebody's arm or something.
Hey, well, that's what happens.
I liked it.
That's what happens when you have a team in the Bronx. Sorry, folks.
It's true.
If you don't want Bronx activities happening on your field, get the team out the Bronx, bro. I'm telling you.
Yep.
Bronx is Lord of the Flies out here.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That's what you signed up for, man.
That's what you signed up, bro. It's the Bronx. All right, let me calm down a little bit. Shout out to the fan text. Yeah, I can gas you up all day. Thank you, Lucius. But, you know, hey. All right, let's sit here. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up. My name is Lucius Alexander. You can hit me up at Lucky Lucius, P-L-U-C-I-O-U-S. On social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all at G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here. It's from the KMC Masterpiece, our midday show. They asked Stephen Jones, the Cowboy COO, Brass, basically a billionaire. They asked a billionaire about these nuts.
Are you familiar with the incident between Trayvon Diggs and Mike Leslie yesterday? And if so, can you give us any feedback about that?
I'm not aware of that at all.
Okay, so Trayvon Diggs comes out and talks to Mike Leslie while he's still in his pads about a tweet that he sent out asking what Trayvon Diggs was doing. And he said to Mike Leslie, "You don't know ball. You can't do what I can do." Mike Leslie responds, "I'd love to talk to you about it." And Trayvon Diggs walks back into the locker room and says, "You can talk about D's nuts."
Well, I don't have anything to say because I don't know about it firsthand and not going to comment on that.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much for your time, man. We will get fair back enough with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Go get Cowboys.
Hold on, bro. I got to isolate that out. Hold on. One.
Groom and says, "You can talk about D's nuts."
Yeah. Well, I don't have any.
Yeah.
All right, so thank you for your time.
We got to follow up with him on that Friday at 3 o'clock.
Did you ever find out about these nuts, Steven?
We got to replay him that whole interaction. Just be like, please.
What do you think about that?
What was going through your mind when that question was being asked?
Oh, that.
So good.
Funny stuff. Hey, speaking of these nuts.
Yeah.
What's that kid's name? Ooh, that's so good. What's that kid's name that went viral for saying D's nuts? Come on. Welvin the Great. Welvin the Great. Boy, thank you. Thank you, Lucius.
Thank you, Lucius.
Thank you. It took a long time, but I tell you what.
You had your own back.
I was going through those files. Yeah, Welvin. Do y'all see those? Do you know who Welvin is? You remember the kid in the video?
Yes, I do.
I'm Googling it right now. Welvin, unforgettable face.
Unforgettable, yo. You are wildin'.
One of one.
The
dude.
Face? Yeah. Do y'all see the videos of like people running into Welvin in Vegas?
No.
They usually run into him near like Fremont Street by the Golden Nugget. He just be out there just washed, bro. Just washed.
I had no idea his name was Welvin. It makes it all the more funny.
Welvin the Great, bro.
Oh, yeah, this guy. Hilarious face.
Yeah.
Right.
Got him.
Got him.
Got him. Yeah, maybe out there wash, bro. Poor Melvin. Send him some positive energy, too. He just be looking wild on those videos. And people just walking up to him, lips ashy, trying to take photos with him and stuff. Look like he's going through a hard time, and folks just want to take a photo. It's crazy.
Take a photo of these nuts.
Poor guy.
Melvin the Great. He's got an Audi and everything, bro. I'm telling you, he's one of one.
Whoa, somebody said Melvin's dead. No.
No.
Ah, that's got to be cap. I don't believe that. I seen some videos of him washed out just the other day.
Yeah, apparently, a while back, he was unconscious or some point.
Oh, yeah, too far. Just laying on Fremont Street, just washed. In the blood.
Mouth just wide open.
Yeah. I don't think he can close it, dog.
He doesn't have a choice.
That's just...
Yeah, all right, let me get to this. Time. I'm sorry. Let me get focused.
I don't think he can close it.
Whew. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a butt naked Wednesdays.
It's butt naked Wednesdays.
I got a question for the Tolos right here. If your favorite pro team was a sitcom, what would the title be?
Oh, wow.
If your favorite pro team was a sitcom, what would the title be? Now, I was going to say if the Dallas Cowboys were a sitcom, what would the title be? But I wanted all the teams to jump on in and have fun with this one. But it ended up being a whole lot of Cowboy fans anyway. Damn. Yeah, I got answers like this. By the way, I got this from Facebook. You can follow me on Facebook, Lucius Alexander. Post the questions there. People respond. But yeah, first TV show, Lost.
I like it.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
ER. Jerry's World, starring Jerry Jones as Jerry Jones.
It's good.
Yeah, I like that so far. If your favorite pro team was a sitcom, what would your pro team be called? My man said, Mediocrity.
There
if
you
I
go.
Can say it.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Schitt's Creek.
Ah, yes.
With no C.
Yeah, for real. Dysfunction Junction.
Oh, okay.
Well, Jerry, I think that's a making fun of Jerry because he's from Arkansas. Dysfunction Junction. Maybe. I don't know. What would your title be on the sitcom? Different Chokes. Different Chokes. I like this one. Well, what would your pro team, what would your favorite pro team be if it was just a sitcom? What would the name be? I like this one right here. Corey wrote this one in. What's happening? But with question marks instead of exclamation points. What's happening here? Yeah. The RJ and Choppy Show, which one of these fools is Chop? The Biggest Loser. The Biggest Loser would be the sitcom name of basically the Cowboys at this point.
All in the Family?
All in the Family.
That's a good one.
All in the Family.
Cool. The Jones of Hazzard.
Is Jerry Archie Bunker?
Might be.
I don't know. I've seen enough receipts.
Might be.
Somebody texted in Scrubs.
Yes! Scrubs is the perfect name for the Cowboys. Damn. I like that one. Tolo said that one, too. It's great. If your favorite pro team was a sitcom, what would that title be? Jerry Does Dallas. Shohei at the Apollo.
Oh.
Shohei at the Apollo is great. I like that one.
It should be Jerry F's Dallas.
Ouch.
It's Butt Naked Wednesdays.
How about this one?
It could be like the Wonder Years, you know, with Fred Savage.
Wonder Years, yeah.
Where you're talking about like way back in the day when they were good, you know.
So wondering what the hell Jerry doing.
Dukes of Hazzard.
A Different World.
A Different World. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they're definitely the Cowboys live in a different world. Yeah. Chris has always said that. They live in a bubble down there. Yep. What else we got right here? The Trailer Park Boys. Instead of the Cowboys, the Trailer Park Boys.
Beverly Hillbillies.
Beverly. Oh, well,
that's from Southern California.
Damn, that's true.
A series of unfortunate events.
Oh,
that was a Netflix
very good
show a couple years back.
Yes.
Is that the one with Jim Carrey?
Yep.
Yeah. If your favorite pro team was a sitcom, what would the title be? Last one right here. The Dallas Cowboys, because that just sums it up.
Yeah.
we get the joke by now.
Yeah, we get it. All right, I'll be back. No, I'll be black tomorrow on a, what is that, Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I will holla.
There he goes, Lucius Alexander, LA Live every night, 5:40. How about instead of Game of Thrones, Game of Jones, right?
Oh,
he's good.
Oh, yes. Now y'all getting your fastball together here.
Yeah, you done now.
You waited to the last point of the segment. You know what, Lucius, I've got some, actually.
Thanks to Whataburger for having us out. We'll have one more hour here, Grand Prairie, 2630, Highway 161, here right next to the Walmart. We gave out all the G-Bag Nation flags, but you know they have amazing burgers and beverages and all the goods here waiting for you. At you know, you don't have to make it to this one. We'd love to see you, but the Whataburger nearest you is calling your name here for dinner. And we're back with the 6 o'clock segment. Chief, hodgepodge? No.
I think we got a Wolchuk bases.
With bases, yeah. Let's get an update on these fans that got ejected. And why is Nike mad at the Yankees? That's next.